Changing minds one thought at a time.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Changing Minds Online Empowering Women series. How are you doing today, Jessica?
I am doing great, thank you. I am sitting here in my apartment, and you know, it's kind of funny because they said that we were going to get this epic snowstorm. They said 30 inches of snow. They closed all the streets and the trains by my house. I had the last 2 days off of work, and it turned out to be an epic fail. I'm looking out my window, and we have maybe 3, maybe max 4 inches of snow. So I am sitting in my house. I had a wonderful, relaxing 2 days working on some new and exciting projects we're going to be releasing soon. And it's been a wonderful evening. So, you know, how are you doing tonight, Akina? I know we have one of my favorite people on the show tonight. I'm just so excited about who we're bringing on. Why don't you give our audience a little, let them know the amazing woman we have the honor of speaking to tonight.
Yes. She is an author, an artist, a public speaker, and she is making wonderful programs to help children build their self-esteem. I would love to introduce...
She also is the editor, right, of our books, is our very own editor on the show today.
Yes, that is correct. She was the editor of our book, the 90-Day Affirmation and Gratitude Journal. You are correct. And without further ado, I would like to introduce Beverly Jones Durr. How are you doing today, Beverly?
I'm doing great, thank you. And I heard about all that snow you guys were getting. I kind of feel bad because we don't have any of that here in Alabama.
Well, you know, don't feel bad too bad for me because I actually got really lucky. When I say we have only a few inches, it just completely missed where I live. So I got very fortunate. I have some friends that are snowed in. They have a few feet, but we got lucky. We only got a few inches.
Well, let's get started with the interview today. Beverly, tell us how you decided to empower children through public speaking.
Well, I am a child who my mother said when I was born talking. I don't know if that's true or not, but it seems as though when I was a little girl, I always had plenty to say. I'm the type of individual who grew up in a household of parents who encouraged me to speak my mind. And then at some point, they probably got tired of me speaking, and someone gave me a journal. Once I got my hands on that journal, it was as if whatever was in my mind was now something I could put on paper. And all of those imaginary characters and places I dreamed of going came alive for me on paper. So when I did that, I remember thinking as an adult raising my children, they all had journals as well. And I have boys. And I know people don't always think boys are journalers, but they are. And it does help a child to build self-esteem and self-confidence, which is the reason why I do what I do, because there are so many children out here today who are suffering from self-esteem issues and who have no confidence. I think there are two types of children. There are children with healthy self-esteem, and when they do, it's like a body armor against the challenges of the world, the ups and downs, the peaks and valleys. And kids who know their strengths and weaknesses usually feel good about themselves, and they smile a lot. They're able to handle conflicts and resist negative pressures. And then there are those children who have low self-esteem. They're the ones who find challenges a source of anxiety for them and frustration. And they think poorly of themselves. Sometimes their own internal self-talk includes statements like, I'm no good, or I can't do it any better than this, or I simply can't do it. Those are the children that I want to reach, the ones who really do need a healthy self-esteem.
Wonderful. And What was the catalyst to this? You know, what made you finally realize that, wow, that program is truly needed?
I guess I started the program originally as a volunteer for a nonprofit here locally, and they got together a bunch of children. I think there were 15 to 20 children. They were different ages, from 5 to 14. And the purpose of that workshop was to show children where they fit into the world and how God's plan was important for them. Working with them, I realized that these little minds who came into the classroom, kind of quiet, a little inhibited, they burst with energy the moment I told them that they were allowed to write about anything they wanted. They could dream up any character they wanted. They can have any condition they wanted. And I had one little girl who said to me, "Do I really need to write a story? Because my favorite person is Maya Angelou, and I want to be a poet." So, of course, she wrote poetry, which, by the way, was amazing for an 11-year-old. But I realized that this program opens a child up. It creates a safe environment for them, because usually in the workshop we have beanbags and it's very informal. We have desks and chairs, but we're hardly in them. We're laying around on our beanbags. We're talking among ourselves about our dreams, and we're making up characters. And then when the children do start writing their stories, each of the children evaluate somebody at the end of the day, because we have our author's chair where a child generally will volunteer to read a portion of the story they've written. And it allows the listeners to ask questions. In other words, their editing process is, as the story is being read, if a question pops into your mind, you write it down. That generally means that the story was not explained enough, that these questions were automatically answered. So we don't judge and we don't criticize. What we do is we edit, and that is our editing process. The children also illustrate every book they write, which when you explain that to the parents, most of them are amazed at the outcome. So this program, the writing workshop, is a 4-week program, usually held during the summer, and there are 2 workshops per summer. The children meet Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday for 3 hours with me one-on-one in a group environment. And at the end of the 4-week process, what we have are blooming authors ready to have their books published. The books are bound in leather, and they are presented to the children in an award ceremony so that parents can see exactly what they've been working on and how productive it's been. But more importantly, they see a change in their child's personality. They're outgoing. They're smiling a lot. They're very confident, because even they did not really believe at the beginning of the workshop that they would actually be authors. But it turns out that that's exactly who they become. And watching that transition from the beginning to the end is an absolutely addictive thing for me. I enjoy it, and I want to see more and more of it.
And Beverly, I love what you're talking about, because, you know, I'm actually a teacher full-time. That's what I do. A lot of you guys know me as a face of, you know, with the keynote, the Changing Minds Online, and as a marathon runner, but full-time, what I do, and one of the things I'm very, very passionate about is teaching. And, you know, all the time, I'm also, you know, big into children's ministry, and all the time, you know, like you said, there's a lot of children who just have this amazing perspective and something so beautiful to share with the world. And even as adults, you know, everybody in this world just has a voice. Everyone has a vision and a mission for the world. But oftentimes, you know, young in a child's life, that voice, it gets silenced. You know, it gets silenced by society, by parents sometimes, most of the time unintentionally, you know, by our peers, by the world, who tells them that what they think can't happen or what they want to do, they can't achieve. And inside of them, something dies. And what I love about what you're doing is that you're keeping that light alive for kids and also just making the world a better place, because the beauty about making sure that kids get their voice heard is that when they grow up to be adults, that they continue to really shine and they continue to make their voice known. You know, so Beverly, you know, there's a lot of parents on this call today, and Akeen and I are not one of them. But for the parents who are on this call today, you know, who are sitting here saying, wow, this sounds like a wonderful program, but they don't have access to something quite like you're doing, what are some practical ways that parents can take from what you're doing and they can use it to help teach their kids and really help empower their children to have a voice?
Well, one of the things that I think parents need to start with first is to recognize the signs of unhealthy self-esteem. They need to be able to discern the difference between the two. Self-esteem fluctuates as a child grows. It's frequently changed and fine-tuned because it is affected by the child's experiences and the new perceptions that the child gets. So it helps to be aware of the signs of both healthy and unhealthy self-esteem. Kids with low self-esteem may not want to try new things. They may speak negatively about themselves. They may say things like, I'll never learn how to do this, or what's the point? Nobody cares about me. But they tend to sometimes overly be critical of their own selves. And kids with low self-esteem see temporary setbacks as permanent ones. Kids with a healthy self-esteem tend to enjoy interacting with other people. They're comfortable in social settings. They enjoy group activities as well as independent pursuits. And when challenged, they rise. They can work toward finding solutions. They can voice discontent about being belittled or bullied. And they don't use words like, I'm an idiot. They don't act like they know everything. If for some reason they have a question, they understand that it's only because they don't understand the process, but they have the confidence to ask. So one of the things I tell parents that they have to do, among others, is they have to be careful what they say to their children. Kids are really sensitive little people, and the words that their parents say and others really affects them. You have to remember to praise your child as often as you can, not only because they did a job very well, but also because of the effort they put forth. Now, they may not always be successful, but you praise the effort. If a child is playing soccer and maybe he didn't make the team, what you shouldn't say is, well, next time you'll work harder and you'll make it. Instead, you could say, well, you didn't make the team, but I'm really proud of the effort you put into it. So you reward the effort and the completion instead of the outcome. You have to be a positive role model for your child, which means you also have to have a healthy self-esteem. You can't exhibit excessive harshness towards yourself. You can't be unrealistic about your own abilities and limitations, because your child will eventually mirror what you see. So you must nurture your own self-esteem, and they'll have a great role model. You identify and redirect inaccurate beliefs. Now, media today, and we know all about the photographs and magazines and the movies on TV, they picture people in an unrealistic way because most photographs are photoshopped or airbrushed, and nobody ever really looks like they look in a magazine. As a matter of fact, if you walked up in the grocery store and you saw the person in the magazine up front, you probably wouldn't recognize them at all. So there's a lot of unrealistic beliefs and photos and pictures and reflections that our children see, and it's important that we help them to understand that that's not real, and that within them they have their own beauty, and that perfection is never something that we need to worry about. The only thing you need to do is the best you know how to do. And then be affectionate with your children. Tell them that you love them. Give them hugs. Be proud of them. Don't overdo it, because you know children, they can figure that out when you're really overdoing it. You just want to be honest with them. You want to tell them you think they're terrific. You want to praise them. And you want to always be positive. give them some feedback on what they're doing. If you've got a child who has trouble in school because he acts out, and you notice that at home he does act out, but there are times when he can control himself, then instead of saying you really freak out sometime, what you can say is, I knew you were upset about that, but what I really like is the way you were able to communicate how you feel without losing control. And then lastly, you need to create a safe and loving environment within the home in which the child is free to speak their mind without recourse. I used to tell my children, you can say anything in the world to me as long as you say it with respect. I will listen to anything. And I think you have to, in order to engage your children in that type of conversation, you really got to know your child. And don't be afraid to open a door and walk in. They're sitting there texting. Don't be afraid of that. After all, it is your house, and that is your child, and you're the role model. So those are some things that parents can do in order to help at least determine if their child has a problem with self-esteem and confidence, and some things that they can do to help raise it, enhance it, and develop it more.
Yeah, that's really great, Beverly. You know, one of the thing that I actually do, and I said earlier that I'm a teacher, but specifically I'm actually a behavior analyst. I'm certified in special education, and I'm actually in a few weeks I'll actually be finishing up my second master's in psychology. But I've been practicing for 7 years in behavior analysis, and what I do is I work with children who do have special needs. I typically work one-on-one with kids, and I do a lot of parent training. And, you know, one of the things, like you said, that I come across a lot is that parents immediately look to punish a child for behavior that they don't like. But they don't necessarily recognize or praise a child for behavior which they want to continue to have, and that's good behavior. So one of the things in, you know, in ABA, we talk about positive reinforcement a lot. So, you know, and I'm going to kind of get a little behavioral because this is an area which I do have some expertise in. You know, if you want a behavior to continue to occur, you need to reinforce that behavior. What that means is that something good needs to follow that behavior for a child. So oftentimes, you know, parents will, their child will be acting perfectly for an entire day, and then something small might happen and the child gets punished. But at no point in that day where the child, you know, was acting in a good way, the behavior was not, you were not rewarding the child. You didn't recognize the child for that good behavior. You know, in behavioral terms, that might not actually continue. The good behavior might not continue. You might see actually more behaviors that are undesirable because you're not recognizing or acknowledging that good behavior. So like Beverly said, it's important, you know, as parents that not only, you know, are you, yes, you have to deal with things when they come up, you know, but you're not only focusing or bringing all your attention to what the child's doing wrong. You know, that can have a very adverse reaction to the child's self-esteem when as parents you're not recognizing what they do good. You know, we always say like the sandwich principle. I always like to go by you should say, you know, four times at least for if you need to speak to your child, at least say four things positive for every one time that you have to actually recognize or deal with a behavior that's undesirable. You know, how do you feel about that, Beverly?
I think that's a really good thing. I remember when we were Army brats and we were stationed overseas, and there was a slogan on the wall in my son's elementary school that said, catch them doing good. Reward the behavior you want to see. And I think that's really important because a lot of the children that I talk to, they tell me, I guess because I've become one of them, or they feel I'm one of them. My mom never notices when I do something right. She only gets on me when I do something wrong. And I think that parents have a tendency to want to fix what's wrong instead of encouraging and nurturing what is going well. Children do things sometimes for attention, and they'll get that attention, whether it be positive or negative. But for a parent's perspective, I know I would prefer to acknowledge those really good things that my children are doing, the positive things, because if I acknowledge them and praise and encourage them, they're going to want more, which means they're going to do more of that. You do sometimes have to address those negative things, of course, because that's a perfect opportunity for a life lesson, but you really, really should change that focus from the negative to the positive, because the positive is always going to give you a better outcome, and children will feel good about themselves. As a matter of fact, they won't even feel like you criticized them. They won't feel like you told them they did something wrong, because you've already said, I love the way you can set that table and get those plates and spoons out really perfectly. But, you know, I think maybe the next time you might want to use the blue napkins instead of the paper napkins. But this is a wonderful way you have set up the table, and I really appreciate the help you're giving. So now what did the child, what was the last thought the child got? Mom loves the fact that I helped her out. I think I'll use those napkins the next time. That might be better. Maybe she'll praise me more. So there's always a way that you can communicate with your children. They're looking for praise. You want to raise and instill an attitude of can-do into your children, and you want them to be brave, because let's just be serious. A kid has to be confident to live in this world. He goes to a new school. He starts playing a sport at a new school. They move to a new location. Something new is always happening. A child is jumping out, doing something for the first time, and confidence is the key that makes that child productive and successful in whatever he approaches.
Wow, Pamela, that is wonderful. You know, there's a lot of parents out there that are looking to try that technique of positive reinforcement. So, when you are using your program, such as Empowering Through Writing, how would you use that as positive reinforcement? How would you bring the journaling in, or how would you bring in the writing in that situation?
I generally have a conversation with the parents before the child starts, so I get a good vibe about who my students are, what kind of work they're doing in school, what their hobbies are. And when we sit down that first day, it's like a conference for us. We don't do any writing. We just brainstorm. And I generally will allow the children to write whatever it is they want to write. As a matter of fact, it is one of the rules that we do not limit creativity, that I will not determine that a child cannot write on a certain topic. I give them a list of all the different genres of writing, and they get to choose whatever they want to choose. My real goal is to make sure that it doesn't feel like school. Even though there's nothing wrong with school, when you're writing, it should be fun. When you're expressing yourself, you should be happy about that. And if you're not happy, then maybe you should be expressing those things that make you unhappy so you can get that out, so that now you can move forward into your happiness. So there are no limitations on the children. The only rule we have is, we cannot be critical of the other. We have to be respectful. Otherwise, we basically are in our creative world, and creative people cannot be restricted or limited. We must really just be free to create. And when you give a child permission to do that, I'm going to tell you, that is a beautiful thing to watch, because they don't really believe that that's exactly what you're actually telling them to do. So they test you. And I get tests like, well, I want to write a murder mystery. Okay, go ahead and write your murder mystery. Well, I mean, it's going to have blood and gore in it. If that's the book you want to write, then that's the book you want to write. And they look at me like, really? Seriously? I can write a horror movie? You could write whatever you want. Anything you choose, because there is no such thing as a book or a topic that is unapproachable. So I always try to get the children to understand that as artists, We are creative people. We are a different kind of people. So nobody limits us here. We have some rules, but in here, we throw our rules to the side, and we get creative. And when you get those juices started, man, they start flowing, and they just do not stop.
Wow, Beverly, yes. And now, this program that we've been talking about is Every Child Has a Story. But I know you have a public speaking platform as well for children and some other things. So go ahead and tell us about those.
Yeah, I have, they're called Speech Crafters, and it's my public speaking program for children and young adults. And I'm a Toastmaster. So I'm pretty well skilled in the art of communication and how to develop and present a speech. I believe that if a child can speak confidently, that door to them is open wide and opportunity just flows in. So what I do is I show the children how to create a speech, having an intro, what the body of a speech is supposed to be. I give them certain topics to write about. They write their own, and we time them. The children, just like Toastmasters, are timed. They have three-minute speeches. Now, 3 minutes when you first get in front of a podium may seem like 3 hours, but this program is set up so that the child builds their confidence and the child builds their abilities to create and write, and they use verbal vocal variety, and they learn to use body language and facial expressions. They learn about eye contact because it's important to engage your audience. And, you know, a lot of children sometimes when they talk to you, they look away or they look down. And we teach them how their posture is important and the certain things in a speech environment, like where you're supposed to stand, who the announcer is, what do you say when you come up to the podium. And the children are the audience. So whomever the speaker is of that day, each of the children have an evaluation sheet. And the evaluation sheet has 5 or 6 questions. Based on the speech the child gives, the audience evaluates the speech. And it's basically set up so that it can point out things that were great about the speech, things that the audience learned about the speech, but it also allows for the audience to help the children to develop some things that they can do better. If you can speak confidently to anybody, especially a child to an adult, that's a big deal, because I remember it was difficult for me as a child to speak to an adult. You got to have that confidence. And back again, it goes right back to that self-esteem and building that confidence. And children need it. It's got to be part of their educational toolbox for successful lives.
Wow, Beth. You know, that just sounds like such an amazing program. I love that. And I just love you. I really do. I mean, it's just everything you always just share with me is so uplifting and powerful. You know, if we're almost at the time where we have to close out our show tonight, but if parents are interested or listening to this call tonight and they're interested in learning more about the services you offer, you know, where can they get in touch with you or find out more information?
Well, you can go on my website, which is beverlyjonesdurr.org, and there's a lot of information about both of the programs. There's tabs so you can click on either the Every Child Has a Program, Has a Story for the writing workshop, or the Speech Crafters for the Public Speaking. And you can also email me at beverly@beverlyjonesdurr.org.
Well, thank you for sharing with us, and thank you for being on the show tonight. It's just such a privilege and an honor every time I get to speak to you, Beverly.
Thank you for having me. I had a great time, and I really appreciate what you guys do.
Thank you very much. Thank you. You know, and we just want to, Akeena, is there anything you want to add before we close out tonight? I know.
Yes. If you were touched by something that Beverly said tonight, you can go and find her podcast on iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher, and Tuned In. And you can always come to changeyourmindsonline.com.
Absolutely. And, you know, before we close out, we just always like to give gratitude to everyone who listened in tonight and who may be listening in podcast mode. You know, we love you guys, and we're so absolutely just grateful for your support. Every week it just seems like more and more people are accessing and listening to our shows. And, you know, without you guys, what we are doing wouldn't be possible. So on that note, we love you. God bless. Have a great night. Make it a great week, and we'll see you on Sunday.
Thank you, everyone.